This is The Topic is Trek, episode 66 for Friday, May 15th, 2020. Coming up in this episode, is Kirk about to get the reboot? Brian Fuller reflects on the Mirror Universe. You see what we did there? Chekhov disappears from the bridge. All that and more right now on The Topic is Trek. Enjoy new polywater, now with lime. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, The Topic is Trek. Engage already. Well, hello, everyone. This is Clinton here, one of your co-hosts on The Topic is Trek. And this evening, I'm by myself. There's no one else possibly here to co-host the show with me. So this is a solo event this time around. Wait a minute. Who's running that audio? Who's laughing? Oh, my goodness. I guess everybody's here. So beaming in to join me, as always, first of all, is one of the co-hosts, Mr. Craig Stepp.
I got nothing tonight.
Okay, very good.
That's my catchphrase. I got nothing tonight.
And Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
Help me, Spock. Help me. Oh, that's pretty good. Now do Elvis. Oh, help me, Spock. Help me. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now do Beach Boys. Help me, Spock. Help me, Spock.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those nights, I can tell.
Well, we can only go from uphill from here.
That's we know where bottom is. We know where the Marianas Trench is.
We can keep digging this hole deeper.
Now we get to shoot for the stars. All right. Well, we've got a lot to cover on the show this evening. We're going to be doing our subspace chatter. We're going to be doing a main mission. We're going to be doing warp speed roundtable. And then we're going to be doing getting out of here. So that's a lot of getting to be done. So let's start off with an opinion from somebody about the fact that we are now going to do subspace chatter.
Charles?
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
Okay. We've been over this before.
Like clockwork.
We need it. So, and to prove we need it, we're going to have Chuck start off with our first story.
Oh, since Charlie and I have the same first name. From the rumor mill. We don't have the same last name, though. His is easier to spell.
And sign on documents, too.
From the rumor mill. We have previously touched on the rumor that a series featuring Captain Pike is in the works. You might call it the worst kept secret in the Trekverse. Actually, I think Picard comes in a close second.
Yeah.
Now, the website We've Got This Covered is tossing rumors on top of those rumors by suggesting that James T. Kirk will show up on the series. Mm. The quote report that Jake Cannavale? How do you say his last name? Anybody? Anybody?
I was going to assume Cannavale.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Sounds good to me.
Or a bottle of Vali. I'm good either way. He can currently be seen on the Disney Plus series The Mandalorian and is in the running for the role. And has even done a secret screen test with none other than the current Spock, Ethan Peck. So, you know, he got that going because he's Spock in season two of Discovery. So the timeline lines up. Mm-hmm. So take all this, of course, with a whole Cannavale of salt until something, anything is officially announced by Viacom CBS.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we're jumping way ahead in the story here when we not only did not have Pike series announced, even though pretty much we assume it's going to happen. And, you know, I've kind of got some behind the scenes stuff that says, yeah, they're working on it, but You know, it's not, it hasn't been, so you can't, how do you talk about people being cast on it?
We can do that. Look what we did with Picard. Come on, let's play this game again. I hear that Leonard Nimoy is going to be on the show.
Yes, it's a digital version of him. It's going to be voiced by his son.
Hey, and too soon.
Oh, sorry.
DeForest Kelly? Gene Roddenberry?
Yeah, way too soon.
Luoxana Troy?
Majel? Yeah, because Majel has to be the voice of the computer, right? So, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be very confusing. What's going on here?
I think it kind of makes sense. Actually, I was wondering, in original Star Trek lore, not necessarily the Kelvin stuff, because we kind of saw that. But where was James T. Kirk when, when Pike was on captaining the Enterprise?
Well,
I'm not 100% sure about that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling he was on some other ship, because you don't get the feeling that he was on the Enterprise during that time period, because he talks about Pike, you know, in the two-parter or the original pilot, but you don't get the sense that they served together.
Right.
But then, and it does seem to me that I remember Kirk mentioning being on another ship when he was younger, you know, early on kind of thing.
The Stargazer.
I can't figure out what it was. What'd you think?
Yeah, the Stargazer.
The Stargazer. Oh, if I hear that Stargazer story one more time. Bridge was on fire. Yeah, anyway. So, but I'm trying to remember where Kirk was, but it seems like I remember either him saying, or did I read that? Maybe I read it in one of the books.
Oh, I'm sure there's lots of backstory of other, you know, other ships.
Maybe that's what I'm remembering. Because I've read some old Star Trek books a long time ago, but I don't know. I can't remember.
So we'll keep our ear to the ground and hope no one walks on our head while we're doing that. And if we hear anything else about this, but under current conditions, I don't think there's a lot of movement on things like that.
No. Maybe some writing. Going back and forth. I mean, the writers can write
some ideas. I'm sure they're throwing out ideas and getting ready for it.
They threw out all my ideas.
Yes, well, they are wise. All right. So, speaking of ICOM CBS, those planned expansions to the service that we have been talking about are finally starting to happen. Recently, the service added 100 Paramount movies to the service, including the Godfather series, Patriot Games, and Pretty in Pink, as well as Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, Star Trek Generations, Star Trek First Contact, and Star Trek Nemesis. And more content is coming from Viacom CBS's cable brands, such as Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, BET, Smithsonian, MTV, and Paramount Networks, all of whom are expected to eventually produce original content for the new CBS All Access in the future. Expect a user interface overhaul sometime this summer, and a relaunch with a new name sometime after that. And we still don't have any word as to whether or not the price or the pricing structure of the service will go up. So right now, we're paying $5.99 for the service with ads. And is it $9.99 or $7.99? Because I don't have the one without
ads. It's $10. It's $9.99.
Okay. And I think either one or both of you have like Disney Plus. What does that pricing come in at?
Disney Plus, I paid, it was the $130 for 3 years actually. So, I'm not sure what it is. I mean, it was one of those deals before they actually launched.
Okay. So I can't imagine where it's going to be out of line with all the other stuff that's going on. I'm hoping that they keep the tiered structure, because I don't mind the commercials if I'm paying less for it, because I'm used to commercials.
And it gives you a chance to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Except it seems like it's, I don't know if you guys find this to be inconsistent. The first time you're watching, say, an episode of Picard or Discovery, you get commercials. And then if you go back to rewatch it, a lot of times there are no commercials.
I hadn't noticed.
So maybe the trick is to always watch it the second time first.
Or just play it and
leave the room,
walk off.
Go make dinner, then come back and watch the show for real.
Yeah, that's it. That's it exactly.
Now Disney Plus is $6.99 a month, or it's $70, $69.99 for the year. So that's where the I paid the, I thought it was like $130. I happened to notice that I have extra free money in PayPal I forgot about that. I don't know. It had been sitting there for a while. I'm like, whoa, that's a good deal. I went, great. I'm done. I buy it.
So, Craig, yeah, that was our hosting money for this show.
Okay.
Next topic.
Yeah, for written transcripts of this show, because we're just going to be sending them out via, you know, Mimeo machines.
Self-addressed stamped envelope.
Hey, I'll tell you something else. Speaking of the stream, I know it's a little side tangent for our show, but I was looking at...
Have you heard our show? So,
yeah, I know.
I never listen.
NBC, you know, they had... I was watching a couple of things they were putting on the streaming, the YouTube channel about the Peacock Network.
Yes.
And I was like, you know, this is going to be kind of depressing. Another streaming network to watch maybe one or two things specifically you want to see on it. But I went and looked, and technically I think they're free. I'm sure it'll be ad supported, or it's like, was it $4.99 or something like that a month, I guess, I assume. Without ads. So that's, I can deal with free. I don't mind an ad.
First one's always free. They get you hooked.
That's right.
So I'm almost envisioning that's an introductory offer that they'll probably go, what are we thinking? And they're going to like suddenly be charging a lot more for that service after a couple of months.
It said it was free, but NBC's got a lot of good old shows that I wouldn't mind seeing from time to time. And I thought, oh, okay. Anyway. So,
yeah, well, that's one of the benefits of All Access is that you get a lot of, you know, back catalog as well in there. And so I'm looking forward to the service being more than, I mean, it's great that we have new Star Trek on it, but it's also great if there's other content on there. And so the more things, the merrier, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. I'm looking forward to binging Rockford Files.
Okay. Wah, 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 wah. All right, and I believe you're next up, Craig, and you kind of lead off of what we've just been doing.
That's right. And it's good to have all that new content on CBS All Access app, because during the national lockdown, and I hope you're locking down as well, people are consuming lots of content. But that's what's most precious is staying in touch with others, trying to maintain a sense of normalcy, right? Right?
Right. Absolutely.
That's what we're doing here, right?
Anyway, well, this is normal. Oh, my goodness. We're
it's the we're new screwed. Normal.
What's more normal than fandom than conventions? Except for there are no conventions, sadly. Not that I know of. Anyway, no way to meet your favorite stars or close up close and personal. However, leave it to Dr. Bashir to come to the rescue. No.
Literally the word no. That's the word no. No. With a period.
That's what we're thinking about it. It's not even a hashtag, people. It says N-O period.
All right. D-Space Nine's chief physician hasn't come up with a cure, but the actor who portrayed Julian Bashir, Alexander Siddig, has stated a series of weekly online gatherings of his official fan club, Sid City, called Sid City Social Club, giving fans an opportunity to interact with himself and each other. Meetings of the club take place on Zoom, and Siddig uses the time to chat with fans, answer questions, listen to their personal anecdotes, and share his own experiences dealing with life in quarantine. And Siddig isn't the only Trek member who's a club member. Attendees who were treated to a special surprise last week when Garrick actor Andrew Robinson unexpectedly joined the stream to chat with both Siddig and fans. Pretty cool. I did not see that. I wish I had seen that. I would have jumped in it myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very cool to do that. From everything I've read about it, it's a very, you know, up close and personal and just kind of very casual thing. It's got going on there with that, because it's his fan club, you know, interacting with those people. And I really like that concept. I wish more celebrities would do that type of thing.
That's pretty cool.
You know, everybody's got the time, including the celebrities, right?
And when Garrick tells you to show up at 3 p.m. to get fitted for a suit, you show up at 3 p.m. to get fitted for a suit.
That's right. Well, I tell you what, if there's any upside to us all being kind of stuck at home and, you know, quarantining, is I like the way people have been creative in providing some content on, especially online, mm-hmm. interactive content for people like this. I watched the Back to the Future cast get together. Mm-hmm. It was with what's his name? Josh.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Like, yeah, I know who you're thinking of. Yeah, but yeah.
But they got together and it was fun watching them all. They acted out a couple of scenes, answered some questions, and actually he had them ask each other questions, which was kind of fun. And it was a fun 45 minutes. And there's been some other ones. My favorite speaking to NBC was watching Monk. Monk was in quarantine. So if you're familiar with the show, he's a germaphobe to begin with.
I was going to say, so, probably a dream come true, right?
So that was,
you
that
can't
was
go anywhere. You can't touch anything. You can't speak to anyone. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
Yeah. He was washing his hands. 99 bottles of beer on the wall. 91. And a little while later, 16 bottles of beer on the wall. He's still washing his hands. It was good though. Anyway, I digress.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's a good point. And it kind of leads into more of the type of stuff. So, Chuck, tell us what else is going on here.
I'm
going
to have to step up my game on my Saturday night karaoke.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, if you know, Alexander Siddig can get that many people going on his little Zoom meeting. All right. Of course, as Craig mentioned, all the conventions are closed or canceled or on hold or in question. The events have gone to the next logical place, the web. Even though creation conventions are still, as of the recording of this episode, they're still planning on holding the Star Trek Las Vegas in August. They've also gone online. Their next panel featuring actors Connor Trinneer and Dominic Keating, who of course play Charles Trip Tucker and Malcolm Reed from, you know, that Star Trek show. Enterprise, that's what it was. That will take place on Saturday, May 16th. I hope you subscribers are listening real soon because this show was released on the 15th. So you got at 1:15 p.m. Eastern or 10:15 a.m. Pacific. If you can't do the 3-hour math, we'll help you out with that. Best of all, the price of admission to the online panel is one brick of gold press latinum.
No.
The price of admission is, quote, pay what you can.
So I thought that was good. Creation is not always known for being generous, so yeah. I thought that was an interesting.
I can't even afford to pay attention.
Yeah. Boom, boom. Yeah, and I did literally just check before we turned on the microphones and Star Trek Las Vegas is still listed as being on, and they've got a countdown clock.
That's encouraging.
Are you going, Clinton?
No. We're going to California right around that same time, or I forget whether that's doing, we're going to California or Atlanta. Both those things are up in the air already. So, you know, I don't know if Vegas is open, but those other places aren't. I'm going to go. I don't know about that.
Have you ever been to the Star Trek convention in Vegas?
I have not been. No.
We got the tail end of it one year.
Yeah, I think we're both were.
Right. Yeah, when we went to the Podcast Expo in 2008, they were just finishing up the Star Trek convention.
That's right. That's why I was thinking we just missed it. That's right.
Right.
That's where I got my Chuck Con shirt.
Oh, yeah. You still wear it too, don't you?
That I do. Wear it proudly.
And speaking of these online conventions, William Shatner is also going where cons have only sometimes gone before. Mm-hmm. He'll be part of Galaxy Con's online convention on Saturday, May 23rd at noon Eastern. That's 9 a.m. Pacific. And we have links to that as well as all the other stories we've talked about. Wait. If you go over to the show notes for episode 66 over at The Topic is Trek.
Nailed it.
.com. All right. Now let's move on from all those convention-y type things to another subject. Convention-y type things.
Go, Craig.
Convention-y type things?
Yeah, that's you.
Wow.
Was it me?
It's you.
But, wait a minute. Oh, I see. But, wow. Okay.
Pay attention. Try to keep up.
All right. But ZBS.
First thing is not number, by the way. It's no. Okay.
That's right. CBS Studios is betting that things will return to normal by the fall. Don't we all hope? But they just announced their lineup of panels for the New York Comic Con, which is scheduled to take place at the end of October. I'm sorry, the weekend of October 3rd through the 6th. They have scheduled two panels, one Star Trek Discovery, which I'm sure they're going to be dropping some big Discovery stuff there because the new season's imminent, and followed by a Star Trek Picard panel.
So the interesting thing there is that we don't know when Star Trek Discovery Season 3 is going to drop. It might not drop before Comic-Con. Probably they might have like a preview there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, they're making progress on it from everything we've been told. It's just taking a lot longer because they're doing it.
I think music was the issue.
Well, music was the issue. Whether or not they'll get to the point where they just go... I've heard of some other productions just deciding to go with a couple of live musicians and synthesizers, and whether or not they'll just eventually have to go, look, if that's the thing holding us up, we got to do something else, or I don't know what's going to happen.
Kazoo band.
Yeah. You know what? I've seen some very creative in quarantine music productions when people were on Zoom doing their own thing. Surely some musicians that work on Discovery can work out some music.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I don't think it would come to a point where everything else is completely done and they go, yeah, but we can't release it because we don't have a session for the live musicians. I'm sure they go, we're going to come up with some other way to get around that, you know, as far as getting this thing released again, recorded maybe with some live and some as synthesizers, you know, something just to get it out the door. But we don't know what the status is at the moment.
Hey, who picks REO Speedwagon for?
I see. It's that cycle of retro in 930 years in the future that's come back. I see.
I bet they could play some Rush. That would work.
Well, considering they played the Bee Gees, anything is possible.
I forget.
And we just been speaking about Discovery, Chuck. So what do you got to say about that?
This just in, the rumored Pike series is rumoring that William Shatner will be on that series as Kirk.
Yeah, as young Whoa. Kirk. As wow. young Kirk.
Wow, that's even a bigger stretch. He's got to stretch his acting chops for that.
Well, he's stretched an awful lot, but I'm one of his acting chops. But.
CGI, man, CGI. Speaking of Discovery, as we just were, in a recent interview, Brian Fuller, one of the original developers of the CBS All Access series, talked about his original idea for the Mirror Universe storyline. He explained that he wanted to break away from the traditional concept of simply having the occupants of the mirror universe be opposites of those in our universe. Quote, what I really wanted to do in setting out was looking at the minutiae of simple decisions that have a cascade effect on our lives. So it's not about gold lame sashes and goatees versus no sash and clean shaven. It's more about we are at forks in the road every moment of our lives, and we either go left or right. Fuller went on to say, there's something in the mistakes made by Burnham in the Battle of the Binary Stars that had this ripple, but the mirror universe was always meant to be an exploration of a small step in a different direction. So it wasn't necessarily the mirror universe we know from all the other series. It was something that was closer to our timeline and experience, so you can still recognize the human being and go, what did I do? How did that seem like a good decision for me at the moment? And how do I continue with my life forward? And everything was sort of an extrapolation out of that. I ask myself that every day. How did I do? This is not my beautiful wife.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, but you say it to Donna, and I think that's really bizarre. So it's just
well, how did I get here?
You can't see, but he's doing the chopping thing on his arm career. Right now. Yeah, it's interesting because you often hear this, that somebody who's left a series will talk about the things that they were planning to do, and whether or not that's what would have got pulled off, don't know how well it would have gotten pulled off, how well it would have, you know, once you start to try to break the story and write those episodes, do you find yourself going, you know, the mirror universe as it exists seems to be working a lot better for what I'm really trying to do here. It's an interesting exploration of what he would like to have done. And the question is, would it be almost too subtle? You know, if you're not really going the full on goatee and sash route, as Fuller was saying, and you just kind of see everything looking almost the same, but different, is that not quite satisfying enough?
Yeah, I don't know. This one had me scratching my head. Like, because the mirror universe was pretty well established, in my opinion.
Right. So I think you would have had to kind of have the concept that it wasn't that same mirror universe.
But right? it was. I mean, there was the Terran Empire. I mean, you don't just wake up one day and go, ooh, should have turned left.
I think that is what happened. They ended up in the mirror universe. Hey, we should have gone left.
This is starting to sound like Kirk's argument to Sybok. No, I don't want to relive my history.
Yeah, that's right.
And we certainly don't want to relive Star Trek V. So,
share with me your pain.
Feel your pain.
This movie is my
share pain. Share your pain.
Craig is going to take us out with a. It's not an uplifting story per se, but it's an interesting story nonetheless.
Yes. So, and finally, social media users in China who noticed censors had deleted articles and messages that criticized communist China handling of the coronavirus decided to work on ways to get around the censors. Oh, really? Do tell. The activists recreated messages about the situation in Wuhan in over 10 languages, but all of the messages were deleted and...
Oh, sorry. Yeah. It happens when you type fast. I think it was detected and deleted. Yes.
Yeah. What made it stand out was one of the languages, believe it or not, was Klingon.
These kind of sensors?
No. Yeah, those sensors. Not those kind of sensors.
Yeah. Fire up the sensors.
You know, at first it seems odd that, you know, it's a made up language and, you know, I guess it runs by a certain type of syntax, but then I thought, well, actually, I think you can, is it Google that you can translate into Klingon?
Yes.
They
did have it. I guess they still have.
And I believe that either Babbel or Duolingo has a course in Klingon as well that you can take. So really, it is just putting it into another variation of an Earth language. So ultimately, they also were trying Morse code and a bunch of other things to see what would get picked up, and they all got picked up, even Klingon. So that did not work.
Just check. You know, no more Klingon on Google Translate.
Yeah. You know, it's funny to even think that in today's day and age that sensors would be effective enough to block out stuff.
Right.
But one of my high school friends, he worked as a teacher in China, and last year or two, he moved back to South Carolina. And when he was in China, he would be on Facebook, but Facebook is one of the things they actively block. He had to always buy a VPN or change something to try and figure out a way to get out. It's just amazing that one, it's that effective, but two, how it didn't seem like in this day and age it should be that effective.
Right. You would think it'd be more porous than that, but.
Absolutely.
Who knows? All right. Well, that was all the stories we're going to cover. However, if you go to the show notes for episode 66 over at thetopicistrek.com, we have an additional 40 stories that you can read between now and our next episode, and there will be a test.
Wait. What did you delete? Because I checked earlier, there were 49.
I must have gone over some other stuff, because now I'm kind of, there may be bonus beyond the 40. So let's go with 40-ish, just in case I've miscounted the second time.
Take the standard Star Trek number of 47 and be done with it.
Okay. So there we go. The additional 47 stories, including things like getting Star Trek Online themed Zoom backgrounds, or Robert Duncan McNeil and Garrett Wong's desire for a Captain Proton series. All these different stories right there for you to read. And again, there will be a test on the next episode. So
I would say I would Patreon that, by the way.
The test Captain, or Captain Proton?
No, the Captain Proton series. I would pay to watch at least a few episodes of that, wouldn't you? I think it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Very
retro.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, you don't need high production values on it. Let's face it. Pretty much all your effects would be practical. You have, you know, you use a miniature for your rocket and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it really would.
Yeah, very Flash Gordon-like. Yeah, it'd be cool. Yeah.
All righty. And by the way, Vulcan, Alberta, Canada? Nope, still closed.
Darn it.
And so we're hoping for more details and hockey scores soon. So
hey, we're sending up prayers for the people of Vulcan, Canada.
Yes, we are.
The water park ought to be open soon.
I hope so. You know, if they were able to finish construction on it, I'm not sure they were working on it. So maybe they had to stop. Who knows? All right. Well, it's time to come back from our main mission, so we'll have an appropriate sound effect for that.
Program initiated. Here. Enter when ready.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Wow. That was very, very good. And now it's time to head out on our main mission.
What, you want appropriate sound effect? Another sound effect?
Yes.
Unable to comply. Internal scanner relays have been damaged.
Wow.
That's our show.
Majel working with Charlie X all of a sudden. It's like, you know, everybody's just trying to sabotage the show. I don't know.
Hey, by the way, before we move forward, I know we were joking about Vulcan Canada being closed.
Yeah. Yes.
But I just pulled up a news story that says, believe it or not, Vulcan Canada has been so far confirmed no cases of COVID-19.
Well, it's because Vulcans are immune to it, clearly.
And because it closed the city, no one's going in or out.
Well, there is that too, but...
Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there as a news article for him. There you go.
Details, cool. Details. Yeah. Must we have details? Yeah, all right.
Every
well,
once in a while.
in this episode, we're going to be beginning a kickoff of a rewatch of Star Trek, the animated series.
Sweet.
Or it was, as it was simply called when it was on at the time, Star Trek.
Because why not?
It was pretty much short to the point.
No one will be able to figure out it's different.
Yeah, we'll be discussing the first two episodes, but before we do that, a little bit of background that I've pulled together on the series, and you guys feel free to chime in with any thoughts as we go through this. The series ran from September 8th, 1973 to October 12th, 1974 for two seasons. Mm-hmm. Now, season one had 16 episodes and season mm-hmm. two had 6 episodes.
Right.
So I would say like a season and a half, a season and a third.
A season and a can.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that is September 8th is also the date of the premiere of Star Trek, the original series.
That's right. Yes.
So that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Many of the original core actors returned to reprise their roles. We know that it was the first Star Trek series to win an Emmy, picking up the award for 1975's Daytime Emmy for Outstanding Entertainment Children's Series.
That's pretty funny.
Filmation originally wanted the series to be about a younger characters and center around Starfleet Academy. Boy, that idea keeps coming up, doesn't it?
Star Trek babies.
Yeah. When the series became instead a de facto fourth season of the original series, Filmation kept that Academy idea in the back of their minds and eventually turned it into the live action series Space Academy, which, if you'll recall that one, who was one of the stars of Space Academy but good old Zachary Smith himself, Jonathan Harris.
Oh, right.
Oh, the pain.
Yes.
Try all the pain.
In Filmation's efforts to keep the cost down, the character of Pavel Chekhov is not on the series. This way, the production did not have to pay Walter Koenig to voice the role. Koenig, however, would contribute a script for one of the episodes, and Chekhov was replaced by the navigator in the navigator position by Edosian character Lieutenant Eriks, voiced by fellow actor James Doohan.
Really?
In addition to Scotty and Eriks, Doohan voiced several other characters, including Lieutenant Kyle, Commodore Robert April, the voice of the Guardian of Forever, and a whole bunch of other characters.
I love how Lieutenant Kyle looks totally different than he does on TOS, and he looks like Scotty with a mustache.
Yeah, where did he get this handlebar mustache from?
Really didn't do a good job with that one.
Even the animated Scotty was like slapped it on and moved over and looked like he was trying to be different.
Which is weird because then you end up with Star Trek The Motion Picture and Scotty has a mustache.
That's right.
Very interesting.
I was inspired.
Filmation was also hoping to have Doohan voice the role of Sulu and have Majel Barrett, who was already voicing Nurse Chapel, the computer, and the new Katian character, Lieutenant Imres, have her voice Lieutenant Uhura. Now, Leonard Nimoy intervened on behalf of George Takei and Nichelle Nichols, threatening to leave the project if his fellow actors were not hired to voice their roles.
That's right.
And eventually they were. And I'm sure at that point, Walter really felt like, dude.
Well, I read that, and I'm sure you read the same thing, that Leonard was standing up for the diversity that should be represented there. And that's what he was that's what he was doing.
Yes.
Which is good. That's great.
Yeah. Although it had been an ongoing battle, the current status of the animated series is that it is canon in the Trek universe, although fans continue to debate that issue. And probably as we go through the rewatch, we may suddenly have questions ourselves about, really, is canon? But I think you can point at episodes of any Star Trek series and go, really? This is canon?
Well, you could probably say the same thing about the books and all that stuff, too.
Right.
You know, it came out. It's like, really? You know, I don't know.
Well, I think my feeling always is that if it was on screen,
it's canon.
I consider it canon.
Yeah.
Because that's the medium, right? It was made for television. So if it's on screen, if it's filmed in some way and, you know, produced and put on television or streaming or on a movie screen or something, that's canon. And so I've always considered the animated series to be canon.
I liked it from the fact that they could get more creative with the aliens, like Eriks or, the bird guy. It wasn't just put some brow ridges or nose ridges on somebody and call them an alien. It was truly creative in the entities and the races they were representing.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It was funny because, you know, you watch this and you see Erik, or we talk to somebody like Eriks, like you're talking about. And I did that. Remember I did the Star Trek VR at Dave and Buster's. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking to my right and there was Eriks sitting there with his three arms. I was like, what?
Let's give Eriks a hand. Awesome. Oh, sorry.
Hey, give me a high five. Wait, all three of them. Okay.
High 15.
Yeah, high 15. Yeah, top that one.
High 15. Anyway.
All right, so we'll start with the first two episodes are Beyond the Farthest Star and Yesteryear. And we can just discuss them in general, but Beyond the Farthest Star, short explanation of that is the Enterprise finds itself drawn to this area. They're not doing star charting, and all of a sudden they're pulled off course, and they manage to make their way into orbit around this planet that they were going to crash into, and they come across another
50 feet away from the surface, and suddenly they're in orbit.
Well, you know, that's something they can do in an animated series as well. And they come across a derelict ship and they go over to investigate the ship. And that's when things go awry at that point.
Yeah, they notice it's all damaged and some stuff's been going on, right?
But yet they manage to find their way to a control room and figure out it's a control room. and make it work and translate it all within about a minute or so.
And, well,
and then they have
the
to
thing that time constraints just like everybody else.
They have to translate it, but you can clearly understand what the guy is saying in slow motion first. Anyway,
if you can understand, as he's trying to translate, I go, well, if you stop talking, we can understand completely what this guy is saying.
Right.
It was comical in a way.
I mean, run it backwards or something until they translate it. Do anything. Well, my first question about this is, what did you guys think about the, I don't remember what they were called. I should have written this down, but essentially they didn't wear space suits of any kind. They just had a belt that created an environment.
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead, Chuck. I thought I was going to say something about that.
I thought that was creative. Again, it's something you can do on the comic scene, in the animated series that, I don't know, it would come across as really cheesy if you tried that in real life. It's like, we're going to put on this belt and beam down. Like, right. Why do you even need the belt? Come on.
Right. Well, my thought was, I thought, how many times have we seen, any of the characters having to go out in the hull of the ship and they're in a space suit, like, I was like, oh, where were those belts when we needed that?
Right. I found it interesting that they never really brought those back. It was outside of the animated series, but it was like, that would have been a really good.
There are questions about how the thing works. I mean, it's like, okay, great. You've got an environment or some sort of field around you, but where is your oxygen coming from?
The belt.
Hey, well, let's put it this way. Maybe they were retired for a reason.
They're great for the first 3 minutes. And then
we lost too many red shirts with those belts.
Yeah. We just didn't think it through.
I did think that I remember thinking at first, I went, what, a belt? And then after I watched for a minute, I kind of had that same thought you were talking about a moment ago, or you guys were talking about, but about, well, it's animated. Okay. I can suspend disbelief a little bit more because we got a bunch of alien races that don't look like they would really translate well to real life.
Right.
But they work in animated, like the Imres and Eriks and stuff like that. So I went, okay, I'm down with it. And I was okay with it.
The one thing that continually drives me nuts about the animated series is when they animate the Enterprise going through space, it's always like sideways. It's flying at a weird axis.
Well, it's because they've got one version. So, this episode is the first to introduce the bit I always do when I talk about the animated series. I always have this pose where I've got one arm out in front of me, like I'm blocking as I start to move forward, because there's a Kirk and Spock jumping into action, like five frames of the just kind of put their arm up in front of them like they're going to tackle somebody and lurch forward. And we get introduced it in the very first episode of this thing, and they use it in every single episode after that.
Right.
So I think one of the reasons that they came up with these belts is that, well, then we don't have to animate a different kind of thing for the characters. We don't have to animate.
Just put the yellow line around them.
Yeah. With just an overlay of the belt and the little line around them, and we can keep using the same cells again.
Well, I bet we're actually recreating the meeting they had when they designed it. Just put a yellow thing around them.
Well, can't you just have them be out there and hold their breath or something? Well, they can't really just, no.
Look, we got $100 to spend on this episode.
Hold their breath. What did you think? I was watching it the other night with Bonnie, and she was really impressed with the design of the alien ship, though. That definitely had something we did not see previously on Star Trek.
I liked that.
Yeah.
It was different. Yes, it's kind of an organic ship that's a series of pods kind of strung together with...
Kind of squid-like, almost.
Yeah, strung together with vines, almost, and the interior of it looked like it was very organic ship as well.
It kind of looked Kelpian.
Well, we get to see the aliens, though, and the aliens are nobody from that planet. We only get to see the... Well, I'm assuming it's the face. I don't think it's the whole body, but I don't know. It could be the entire body of the creature. The alien captain, I'm presuming.
He kind of looked like, what's the character that Deep Roy played?
Oh, yes, yes. Kinzer.
Kinzer. Yeah. He kind of looked like Kinzer.
It did, in a way. A very spiky kind of looking face. Mm-hmm. So then we have this thing get on board the Enterprise, big surprise, and it takes over the ship immediately because that's what one does if one is an alien that gets on board the Enterprise, is you take over the Enterprise.
And for whatever reason, there's a disco ball in the middle of the bridge that we've never seen before.
That's left over from the night crew.
Yeah. The defense system, I believe, was also kind of incorporated into the motion picture set. If you see a wide shot of the bridge, there's a inverted dome in there as well that is very reminiscent of that dome that's in this episode. And I think that's supposed to be a reference to this defense system on the ship. I think this is the only time we see it, and it does not go well. You know, that the security people that put it in didn't think that through any more than the people with the belts thought that through.
I told you to put a password on that thing.
But this is also another classic case of, if you're an alien, you come on board, you take over the ship, and what's the other thing that you do? You scan the entire record system of the Enterprise, just rifle through it like it was just an open file cabinet.
I know. How many people have done that?
You know, if you figure out something in the dark web in the future, so say, you don't have to go to the Enterprise. You just downloaded it. You can get that file any place now.
Even Gary Mitchell figured that out.
It's all over the ship, and they have to figure out how to get rid of the thing. So we end up, and I was thinking about this today, we end up with the Enterprise going towards the planet that they were very, 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 very close to
when they went into orbit. It's like a dead star. It's sucking them in, and they go to it and then manage to break away again.
Well, not only that, when they go to it, they're there, right? They're in orbit around it, and then to get the alien off the ship, they start heading for the planet, and it takes them forever to get there. I think they're almost at warp speed to get there. How can you were like in orbit around the thing?
The physics of this are all wrong.
But they make reference to, and this is not the last time this will ever happen, obviously, they make reference to the fact that they can do the slingshot effect. So the slingshot effect, we'd already encountered in the original series, and we would encounter again in Star Trek IV. They also use here. So we end up with them traveling back in time as they get the alien off of the ship, and the alien moves to the planet and is stuck on the planet, which is kind of a sad state of affairs. You know, it's like you feel like the Enterprise crew is going, ha ha. It's okay, you know. And we hear James Doohan's voice again as the alien creature.
So lonely.
So lonely. But the thing I was thinking about is not only was it taking them forever to get to the planet, which I was thinking of at the time, but this episode has time travel because they do the slingshot effect.
How much time did they actually recover or go back? Did they say?
I don't think it was very much. But then the next episode involves time travel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And the next episode was, that episode was written by Samuel A. Peebles, who, which did he write? Did he write the original treatment for Star Trek, the motion picture? I remember, or did he write one of the pilots? Did he write one of the pilots for the original series? That's one that I wanted to clarify because I know he wrote something else for, if somebody else can look that up really quickly, but
let's see. So films, he wrote,
Obey Me,
Advance to the Rear. I'm not sure about that one. 1967, the final chapter, Walking Tall, TB. He wrote, Beyond the Farthest Star, Where No Man Has Gone Before.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. I knew he had written something very early on, or something milestone type of thing.
A lot of old stuff like Bonanza, you know, things like that.
Yeah, which makes sense. Which makes sense because that's what was on television at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gene Roddenberry was writing for westerns for television as well.
Yeah,
early on. All right, and then we have our second episode we were talking about, which was Yesteryear, written by Dorothy Fontana, better known as DC Fontana.
Hooray! Mm-hmm.
And this is another one that brings forth the argument that definitely this is canon, because we have things that happen in Yesteryear, which is Spock traveling through the Guardian of Forever back to his childhood on Vulcan, that are referenced in Star Trek Enterprise, which are echoed in J.J.'s first Star Trek movie. You know, all this. So clearly this is all tied together somehow. But this was an interesting episode. We get to see a Saylot. We get to see Sarek again, voiced mm-hmm. by Mark Leonard. And Amanda, though, is voiced by Majel Barrett.
As all things Trek is.
So we have that.
Unable to comply. Internal scanner relays have been damaged.
That was Amanda, by the way. No, sorry, that wasn't them. And so we're now doing forays into the Guardian, just like offhandedly going back and researching things and coming back again, because things went so well the first time.
I saw a picture
that they went there.
Saw a picture on Facebook tonight where Spock and Kirk are jumping into the Guardian and they say, "We're going back to the year 2020." And it says 5 minutes later, "Nope, nope, 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 nope. Bad idea, bad idea."
Yeah. Right. Actually, I was going to say this episode Yesteryear sounds like like the treatment for Back to the Future.
Yeah, really.
I have to go back and save myself.
Yeah, don't interact with your parents.
Yeah.
Spock's arm starts disappearing while he's playing that liar thing. Yeah. Bling,
my hand.
So now the conceit here is that, walk me through this. The reason that Spock disappears, if you will, as we were just saying, but no one, when they come back out of the Guardian Forever, except for Kirk, no one recognizes, and there's no record. Well, there's a record, but it's not no Spock in Starfleet, is that while something was going on here, Spock was also inside the Guardian and couldn't be on Vulcan to rescue himself. His younger self.
Right.
But that it's confusing there because, well, time travel is always confusing and trying to keep track of this stuff because, well, shouldn't he in theory be there because now that's part of, I mean, how is it that he's not there just because he's someplace else when it's another event in a different, like I was trying to piece that together about, did that make sense?
It was another one of those, just go with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can't be two places at the same time, but you're screwing with time. So yes, you can.
Well, remember the Guardian does its own little thing. So it's quite possible it's just showing him these things, not necessarily interacting with it.
Hmm. And then it's interesting that there's an Andorian who is now second in command, which I thought was an interesting choice.
Which
very laid back Andorian.
I started to say he kind of looks like Spock a little bit, kind of long face. Maybe not.
It was probably Spock with a wig because they needed to save some cells.
And the Andorian had a mustache.
Yeah.
And I forget was
the more mustache.
They're doing some of those color forms vinyl stick-ons with the mustache from here, wig from there, pants from this guy.
I mean, the fact that this guy, if the mission is successful, could potentially be wiped out of existence. He seemed pretty chill with the whole concept.
Yeah, I'm good. You go. I'll be in prison somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it is funny how they pretty much took major story beats out of this for the Kelvin stuff, you know, Star Trek.
Right. That's what I'm saying, that you have the part where the other kids are making fun of Spock and, you know, Spock just kind of wails on one of them.
Yeah.
And then they're sitting on a bench talking about Spock needing to make a decision, which is exactly the same thing that's going on in Star Trek 2009.
Yeah, it is.
You know, some of the dialogue was almost exactly the same.
That's why, you know what? It had been a long time since I've seen the anime series when I watched 2009.
They expected us to forget.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's right. So I'm watching. I'm like, well, this seems sort of familiar, but okay. You know, I don't know why this seems familiar. And then later on, you know, watch the animated series again. I'm like, whoa. That was it.
Brain freeze.
Yeah. Whoa.
No, you got to do You got to do it, Bill and Ted. Whoa.
So Spock has to go back to the future, or back to the past, actually, at that point. And he has to rescue young Spock. But first he runs into Sark and Amanda and is invited to the house. And you remind me of someone. You look like someone. Oh, I'm a cousin. Yeah. Oh, well, come on to the house. It's like they're very, very trusting there on Vulcan. You know, come on to the house. And
when I kiss you, I feel like I'm kissing my brother.
Well,
where are you going, cousin? Really. I'm on my way to Mordor. We're just going to screw up everything today.
And of course, young Spock, to prove himself, sneaks out and he goes on his quest, I guess, to scout out the entire thing first before he does it for real. I'm not quite sure if that, because no one knows that he's going. So if he does it and no one knows that he went, no one knows that he did it. So I'm assuming he's doing the entire thing once as a trial run before he goes and does it in front of everybody. I'm assuming. And that is a quick reference to it being the Forge, which is the name that they give to it in Star Trek Enterprise. That is where T'Pau is, you know, in the Forge. Not to be confused with La Forge.
Yeah, right.
And young Spock is attacked, but, you know, is helped by the Saylot, and the Saylot is injured. Someone pointed out that when the Saylot is treated and then young Spock has to make the decision about
putting him down,
what to do, that was kind of a heady subject for like a kid's half hour show going, oh, you know, do you want to, you know, put down your pet?
that was, I was thinking the same thing. It's like, this is pretty dark for a Saturday morning cartoon.
Like, wow.
Yeah. So I think this is a lesson that don't go back to the Guardian anymore, because we find at the end that didn't happen the first time.
Right.
So it's like, oh, you've great. You've now killed an animal, you know, the wonderful. So.
Cause Aichaya could have been grown up to be the next Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, well, or the next Edith Keeler, for all we know. Don't know that. Not know that.
We were talking about this episode, I pulled up Google Images and searched for this episode, and just so I could, as we were talking about it, you know, remember a couple things. And one of the things I saw was I saw somebody doing some cosplay from the animated series. And what it is young Spock, you know, where he's got the shorts on with the
sash.
The sash.
Yep.
Somebody did that at it looked like Dragon Con. I couldn't tell, but they were dressed. A lady was dressed like that. And then they had the shallot coming over. It was a big guy in a bear suit. I'll have to send it to you.
That's pretty good.
I was like, whoa, that's kind of funny.
Well, Amanda did describe it as a teddy bear
with six inch fangs.
Yeah, I'll have to send this to you guys.
Of course, one of his is broken off, so.
Actually, I'll put this in the show notes, so
anybody
can go check it out.
That's so we could tell Spock's sellout from all the other ones.
Ah, I see. All the other ones that we didn't see on the series, yes.
They were in there, but they ended up on the cutting room floor.
I forget when they showed them on Enterprise. Did they look like the one from the animated series? I can't remember.
I haven't gotten there yet.
I felt like they were more wolf-looking on Enterprise.
Oh, I don't remember. I have to go back and look.
That's what I remember anyway, is that they didn't look quite. I mean, I don't think they were as... I don't get the impression they were as off as the Gorn was because the Gorn was way off what it had been before. I think that maybe the Salots were a bit better in that regard. All right, so what is our opinion overall of the first two episodes of Star Trek: The Animated Series?
Are we rating them? What do you want for an opinion?
Let's give them a rating. Why not? Let's give them a rating.
How many tribbles do you give it, Chuck?
Yeah, we have to the scale first.
Yeah, 1 to 10 tribbles.
Okay, scale 1 to 10 tribbles.
They either go like this or they go like this. Wait, shut up, guys. Shut up. Shut it. Gee whiz.
Man, oh man, those things are loud.
No kidding.
All right. I will say for Beyond the Farthest Star, I will give that one 6 tribbles out of 10. And for Yesteryear, I will give that 7 out of 10. I felt like Beyond the Farthest Star had some good intent, didn't pull it off as all that great, but yeah. I like the look of it. I like some of the concepts. I wish it had been a longer episode to kind of develop it a bit more. So 6. And I felt like with weaknesses in it, I thought that Yesteryear at least had a good core story to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go very close. Beyond the Farthest Star for 6. I like the creativity. And like you said, the core was there. The environmental belts, the spaceship, it was the first look at some new creative stuff. And I liked that. But there were a number of things like, you're going to crash into the planet. Suddenly you're in orbit. Like, why? Did I just miss a scene? So there were things like that just kept throwing me off, going, where are we? What happened? 6 for that one. Yesteryear, I'm going to rate slightly higher. Not much. I'm going to give it a 7.5. I like where it's going. I don't think it's in that 8 or 9 territory. Like, this was awesome. Would have been perfect, but it was good. It was really good. I liked it. And like you said, there were a lot of extracts taken into future works.
Absolutely. And what about you, Craig?
Well, I think we're all in line because I think I would give the first episode probably around a 6. I was going to give Yesteryear an 8.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So yes, I liked it a lot. Obviously the first one, the first few, they're okay. Setting the stage for the whole series. But I think the first one was okay. The Yesteryear was much better. So I was going to say 8.
We're going to do a couple more next time.
We will. We will indeed. We might do, since we don't have to do so much covering on the origins of the series. I think we'll try to hit maybe 3 or
yeah.
We'll see what we have coming up next, though.
And considering we don't have any much news coming from Vulcan Canada, we got room to.
Yes, exactly. And of course, our we rate Yesteryear higher, and I think part of that has to do with the fact that DC Fontana writing Spock. I mean, come on. How can you lose with that?
I know.
All righty. Now it's time to come back from our main mission. Appropriate sound effect.
Hey, by the way.
Oh, yes, you can do that while the appropriate sound effect is going.
I was going to say, dear listener, if you want us to review something that not necessarily the animated series or something, you want us to rate something else, maybe a book or something Star Trek related, let us know.
Now, do you mean by actually experiencing it and then reviewing it, or a Danny Hillcrest type one where you just review it, you've never actually read it or anything? Okay. All right. Okay.
No, I mean, IMDb description and we're going to go with that.
No, I mean, if they wanted us to, I don't know, review something specific, I don't know. I would just
Star Trek Happy Meal, something like that.
Yeah, this cheeseburger tastes like 20 years old.
The commercial from Galoob for the Star Trek Next Generation toys from 1988.
Man.
You know what? I wish I'd share. You may have it in your extra stories, but I saw one. It was some pictures of old Play School Star Trek toys that never quite made it out to production. And one of them was like the Enterprise. You could see it was like a caricature of the TNG Enterprise, and the bridge part was like wide open at the top. It looked okay, you know, for a child's toy. I'll have to see if I can pull that up and send it to you.
You never played with Captain Potato Kirk?
Yeah.
Oh my. Well, we'll investigate those toys and report on those next time around. All right, but now it's time for Warp Speed Roundtable. And last time around we asked, when you hear the classic Jerry Goldsmith theme, which first comes to mind? Is it Star Trek the Motion Picture or Star Trek the Next Generation? And this time around, we're going to ask the question, if you could hop through the Guardian of Forever, which we know is a bad idea, as we've pretty well established, but if you could do that, what Star Trek universe event would you like to witness firsthand? And by Star Trek universe event, I mean it's something that you either saw in Star Trek and you'd like to be there to witness it, or it's referenced and, you know, so they didn't show it and you really would like to have seen that. So you want to be there, one of those type of things. So which would you like to do if you could hop on through in slow motion through the Guardian Forever into that fog or that backstage mist from a Metallica concert or something, whatever that is going on there.
You know, just a quick pause. We go to these conventions and you often see a TARDIS. We need to bring a Guardian.
Well, a Guardian is harder because, you know, at least with the TARDIS, you can step inside and you've got like a little something in there. What do you put on the other side of the Guardian?
You just got to make some fog curtain and let people do their slow-mo on their camera.
I see.
That's all you got to do.
All right. So what we're hearing is that Chuck has a project he's working on for the next DragonCon that we can go to.
And somehow I'm going
to
get it from
my house and I'll drag it to DragonCon with everything else.
I was going to say, Phoenix to Atlanta, that'll work well. Good news, everyone.
Yeah, put in the parade and just have the entire parade march through it at the end. All right, there we go.
That would be great. They all disappear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is what happens in the parade anyway. All right, so let's go. We'll start with Craig this time. If you could go back through that Guardian of Forever and experience anything, which I suppose even could be a future event, right? Because the Guardian is like time is nothing to the Guardian, so could be a discovery in the future. Anything. What would you want to experience?
Why are you laughing already?
Because I just had a thought.
Oh, my.
If the Guardian and Q got in a fight, who would win?
Well, I want to hear that fan fiction.
Yeah.
My first thought was I wanted to go hang out with Picard on Risa when he went.
Picard, I see. It looked like Riker was having a better time. Until he got that game put on his head. He was chasing that girl around the room for like 20 minutes.
I can't get it in the cone.
A lot of guys have that problem.
It happens
to everybody.
And there goes our rating for this episode. All right,
maybe you should go to Sig Bay.
So I'm going to say at least the first thing that comes to mind is that I want to go to hear, but this is going to sound really petty because you know how I feel about this episode. I want to go to hear Archer give his speech that he's giving for, you know, to the foundations of the United Federation of Planets, as opposed to cutting away from that to hear about Riker and, you know, Troy talk about him making decision and hologram program. It's like, so that, no, I want to hear the setup is for the speech. I want to hear the speech. That's what I want. I want to go back and hear that speech.
I see. Okay. That's a good one.
All right. So we'll next go to you, Chuck.
I'm going back to First Contact and I want to hang out with Deanna Troi getting blitzed out of her skull.
Right.
We don't
something called
have
tequila.
The time. And just dance to Ooby Dooby.
Ah. I'm surprised they weren't dancing to something more contemporary like Baby Shark or something like that. You know, that would have been... that would have been very forward thinking if that song had been in there. And now it's all in your heads, so sorry about that.
Or not Magic sorry. Carpet Ride. You can do either one.
Yeah. All right. Actually, does it
what was the, at the beginning of Generations when they were christening the ship? I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Christening the ship?
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of Generations.
Or do you just want the giant bottle of champagne? Just yeah, like I was come try up and catch in it. Space and grab yeah. it and get away with it.
That's right.
I got a year's supply of champagne. Thank you very much. So that, but I don't know if the second place I'd like to go. This, I mean, I think the possibilities are infinite on stuff, but.
Nimbus 3?
Let's go to the Nexus. What the hell?
Nimbus 3. Come on, you can go dig some holes there. It'd be a great afternoon.
This is the garden spot. Yes, there we go.
Right.
You can go. You go witness the explosion of SETI Alpha.
Whatever.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Khan was made.
We could have a little Star Trek tour. Over on the left, you'll see the SETI Alpha 5, or is it 6? I can't be sure.
And there you go. Now hold on to your bars. We're going to time travel to the next.
So it makes you wonder, though, like we're talking about these things you'd want to go and see. So knowing the way things go at the Guardian of Forever, right? So we go to witness this thing. Well, what do we screw up?
Right.
Doing that. It's like, do I suddenly go to sit down and I bump into Archer? He trips, he falls. I break his pad. He has to wing it for the speech. It goes really poorly, and a fight breaks out. And the
no Federation.
United Federation of Planets just dissolves right then and there. I mean,
so much for messing so much up for the timeline.
Peace. Yeah,
Porthos comes
Marty,
in.
Don't
and
interact
saves the
with your parents.
Porthos comes in and saves the speech.
No, they just go, "Aw, puppy," yeah. And they just, works. Peace it's a cheap out. Trick, but it works.
Yeah, peace breaks out across the Federation. It's all good.
All right, but what about you, dear listener? If you could travel through the Guardian Forever and witness any event in the Star Trek universe, what would that be? And as a bonus, throw in what do you think you would mess up by witnessing that thing, because that's always fun too with the Guardian. All right, but with that, it is time to refill the dilithium chamber and get on out of here. I'd like to mention that you can find me, Clinton, over Comedy Forecast, all one word, with the number 4.com for my podcast, Comedy Forecast. You can find me on Twitter at Comedy Forecast, over on Instagram, Comedy Forecast, where I'm now doing a daily, very short Instagram live show every morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. And that now also appears on IGTV right after that. So you can catch all the back episodes. I just kind of talk for a few minutes about whatever is on my mind. It's really short, so you can just watch it really quickly and be on with your day. I have a little bit of chocolate, some coffee, big surprise, and a little bit of talk.
You are all right. In error.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I am not. I do that. I really do.
I've done that a couple times.
But who speaks for the two of you?
Go ahead, Chuck. I'm tired.
I'll go. It's later, later for Craig than it is for me.
Yeah.
You can find us over at Technorama Podcast at Technorama Podcast. The website is chuckchat.com/Technorama Podcast. We've been doing that for now 600 shows.
600 shows.
If you want to go back into the Technorama history archives through the Guardian of Forever, go listen to some of those shows. They're still there. I've also been doing a Saturday night karaoke on Facebook. So if you want to jump on and follow me, and it's a lot of fun. I do this live, sing about 3, maybe 4 songs, and great way to entertain yourself in the quarantine if you're so inclined.
Is it?
Yeah. Drinks are on you.
Called out. All right, but it's time to hit the theme, boys.
I think it's this one.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek, visit our Facebook page, or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek, don't
put on
the red shirt.
No.
We can put on the red mask on your face to keep covered.
But the red shirt is a definite N-O, Craig.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wait, I think it was number, actually. Hold on.